against him. Why are you here? She strode forward, startling her guards as she shoved at Gladik. You have to go back! You have to go back, and you have to rip his heart in half with your sorcery! With the guards on edge, Dante reached for the nether, but it was still being clasped in place by the knights concealed in the towers. Why didn't we think of that before we poisoned ourselves marching through the hell-painted hills? We can't stand against him, Bell. Not on our own. That's why we're here. Send your knights with us, and we'll destroy the White Lich.
You said that you've already fought him alongside the Odosain, and that he killed my knights and forced you to run away. Why would I send more good men to their deaths?
Gladik straightened his jabard. Have you heard of the theory of the prime body? She doused him with a look of sheer disdain.
If you think we're that negligent in our duties, why come here at all?
I don't follow your reasoning, my lady.
That's because you haven't bothered to think it through. We're the ones who uncovered the idea of the prime body in the first place. Even if we hadn't, a moment of thought would have led you to the conclusion that, in the course of our sworn duty of destroying the Aedin Rane, we might have heard of a method that would allow us to do exactly that.
Your people have sought out the body, then?
We've been seeking after it for centuries, Gladik of Bressel.
Before you waste my time, I'd suggest you go and find it, and only then return to the spires. I'll be long dead by then, but I'm sure my granddaughter will be very accommodating to you. But my lady, we have already found it.
Her jaw dropped open.
That's not possible. We've been searching
for centuries, I heard you. But as you know, we are sorcerers. Warlocks, if you like. And though the group of us are not friends, there is one value we hold in common. We do not like to fail.
If you've found it, then you don't need to battle the Lich himself. You only need to suppress his sorcery long enough to strike at the prime body. For that, you don't need to travel all the way to the spires. You could just use the Drakebane's personal guards.
She tapped her front teeth.
Except you came here, which isn't at all easy to do. The Drakebane's Odosain are all dead.
Many, yes. The others fled with him to take Bressel.
That's actually worked.
Better than even he dreamed. And so we are left to come to you for aid.
My name is Era, the woman said sadly. And there are no more knights left to help you.
Dante crossed his arms. The next time you want someone to believe the Odosain are gone, you might want to warn your Odosain not to use the powers of the Odosain.
I said there are no more knights here. Did I say that there was no one left with our talent?
Then give us a squire, or a page boy of Odosain. I don't care what you call them, all I need is for you to send some of them with us.
There are many reasons for a person to reason poorly.
She began to pace across the paving stones, the white fabric of her dress flowing about her strong legs.
We know most of them as the Hana Ro. In your language, although these days it's as much our language as well, this translates to something like the branch of Lax.
Era's gaze grew distant, as if she were searching for signs of infiltrators in the fire-colored hills.
Yes, something like that,
although not precisely that. Her eyes snapped to Dante.
Do you speak more than one language?
Too well, he said. A lot of others not so well. Then you know that exchanging words between them isn't like exchanging coins between different countries, where you can weigh the metal in them against each other and know that you're getting a fair deal so that nobody needs to be stabbed.
With language, there are lots of words that don't translate at all.
You might dismiss this as the barbarism of a foreign culture that doesn't even have the concept of such and such, but that is arrogant thinking, which is lazy thinking, which is the slow death.
I think that if you can't translate one of your terms directly to another language, such that it means exactly the same thing in theirs that it does in yours, that doesn't mean there's a flaw solely in the other language. For if your language lacks the specificity to be translated, then it is inaccurate as well, and strays from the truth in ways that you can't even see.
That makes sense. Dante looked up at the balconies of the tower across from him. The archers were still crouched there, watching them with nocked arrows.
You were talking about the Hana Ro.
I was and am, so be quiet and let me. When you're reasoning, the branch of Lax is like a tree that bears the fruit of all the things that you don't have at your disposal. We in the spires could spend all night arguing which fruits are borne most heavily. But I don't care about that right now, and will list them in no particular order. One common lack is the lack of information to reach a sound conclusion. If you think fire is cold, then you'll never understand why it keeps burning you. Another lack, and some of my peers will argue that every other lack is merely a subform of this one, is the lack of brains to guide yourself down the correct path. Just as a sick man is too weak to paddle across a body of water, your mind is too weak to paddle you toward the truth. A third lack, which might be a refined version of the second, is the lack of training to be able to reason well in the first place. Say you come to a fight with a spear of burnished steel. Your foe's only got a sharpened pole. But if he spent years in training, while you just picked yours up for the first time, you're dead on your feet. And lastly, at least for our purposes, there is the fourth lack, the lack of good intent, where you will willfully deceive yourself with false logic in order to reach conclusions that reinforce your old beliefs, or that justify your poor actions. Now then, in not understanding why I can't send Odosein away with you, which fruit from the branch of Lax are you full of?
I'll save you some time, Blaze said. It's absolutely the brains one. I'm guessing it's lack of information, Dante said. In any other circumstance, he would have been highly annoyed that they were drifting so far off track. But listening to Era philosophize was like watching a trained athlete run through an unfamiliar course without missing a step.
Given that I didn't even know this place existed until a few days ago, and that you deliberately hide yourselves out in a wasteland that sucks the soul out of anyone who walks into it.
Era smiled, flashing her teeth.
You're already making your way toward the answer.
Yes. We founded the Odasein in the hell-painted hills because their poison protects us from the Aedan Rane, to say nothing of pests like you. Are you aware that a knight, on finishing their training with us, never returns to the Silent Spires? Why?
Because the Drakebane needs them to fight off the endless monsters and rebels your land's always spawning.
If a fruit is grown from toxic soil, would you eat the fruit?
Of course not. It would be full of the same poisons it grew from.
Even if the tree was grown in a clean land and then transplanted to the foul one?
It would still start absorbing the poisons as soon as it was taken there.
Yes, it would. And so do we. This land was made to be so corrupt that nothing can grow here. We've carved out a small piece of it that we can survive in, but we can't keep all the poisons out of it. Over time, they build up in you. We have ways to protect ourselves from them, but that changes our bodies forever, in ways that make the normal land toxic to us.
The knights don't return because they can't, Dante said. They'd get stuck here.
Just like you are. It was lack of information, after all. Era smiled. The beauty of her face shot through with sadness. Sure, there are some people here who possess the powers you need. But none of them can leave the spires. They'd drop dead long before they met the Aedan Rane.
I see. Dante nodded twice, finding that he'd been unceremoniously dumped into that numb and quiet space where all hope has been kicked from beneath you, and your mind decides that the only thing left is to lie down and wait for it to end. Well, how about apprentices? Blaze motioned vaguely to the towers. In a place like this, you've always got loads of young kids to sweep the halls and muck the stables in exchange for the privilege of being taught to serve their lords for the rest of their lives.
Oh, they're long gone, Hera said. The Drakebane recalled everyone we had to try to put down the monsoon. Right down to the children. They weren't close to being ready to fight, but when a man feels his future slipping away from him, he'll mortgage it for pennies on the round. I expect the last of our apprentices were fed to the Ziki Oko weeks ago.
But if any survived,
then they'd be with the Drakebane, hustled away to Bressel. They're trained to obey him like your arm is trained to obey your mind. They can't leave his side any more than your hand can pop itself from your wrist and crawl away on its fingers.
Blaze opened his mouth to reply, then closed it, giving a quick shake of his head.
He seemed to lapse into the same hopeless acquiescence Dante found himself mired in.
You say that you would die if you left the spires, Gladick said. How long would this take?
Era rolled her eyes up and to the right. For those of us that were born here, a matter of hours. For those who were brought here later in life, they might last a day or two.
Which implies that those with the stoutest constitutions might endure longer than that. Long enough to depart the hills. You must commit your people to us.
I must order my people to commit suicide. You northerners worship so many gods that your brains don't know which direction they're pulling in, priest.
Gladick leaned closer.
Dante could feel him fumbling around in both the shadows and the light. But the soldiers of the spires continued to keep both forces in place as tightly as the glaciers of the Wodens.
"Do you suppose that you will survive here, the last island of free humanity, after the Aedan Rane has swallowed the rest of the world?"
Fine bits of spittle flew from Cladic's lips.
"Once he controls the continents and the seas, he will rip these hills out by the roots. The only sanctuary for you will be that of death."
Era held her ground. "Desperation is driving you to hysterics, you wrinkled sack. Don't feel bad. It's a common failing when you lack a real argument."
Gladick's face flushed red. He made a great yank at the ether, grabbing at enough to level the plaza, only for the unseen negators to clamp down on it with everything they had.
"I make no hysterics."
Gladick closed his eyes, breathing through his nose until his hands stopped shaking.
"Better than anyone. The Odosein must understand that if we fail, everything is gone, replaced by two ends, death or the slavery of the Blighted."
"If I must understand it, why are you talking to me like I don't?"
"Because you, and everyone else I speak to, are incapable of understanding that your life was rendered worthless the instant the Aedan Rane crawled back out from the earth. Send your people and at least know that you tried."
"It would only be a waste."
"Then send your lessers. What does it matter, you arrogant bitch? They are meant to fall in service of the spires."
Era's right hand twitched. Her guards tensed. The cord stood out from her neck, but her voice was calm.
"It's not logical to waste resources on a strategy we know will fail. Better to wait and see if the Lich makes a mistake, like trying to enter the hills before he's strong enough."
"You know that he won't," Gladick said. "He has fought your people before. He's had a millennium to plan his ascension. He will never strike before he is ready. The only choice is to take the fight to him before he's prepared."
"There's wisdom in that. But we can't help you do it. So, if you're serious about stopping him, about taking the fight to him, I suggest you stop wasting everyone's time and be on your way."
Gladick curled his hand, as if to make another grab at the ether, then slouched his spine, dropping his gaze to the plaza tiles.
"It is no wonder the world lies ever in darkness. Bring the answers before your leaders and wise men, and they will prove themselves as cowardly as everyone else."
Dante turned to take in the slope they'd come in on.
"Crossing the hills almost killed us. If we leave now, will we be okay?"
"Once you enter our land, it'll cleanse the hill's corruption from you within a few hours," Era said. "But once you start off again, don't stop until you hit the swamp."
She glanced up at the balconies. Some of the archers had returned.
"You should go. You can wait in the outer trees until you feel well enough to go."
Dante racked his mind for answers, but they'd exhausted every argument they'd come to make. Under the watchful eye of the archers, he walked away from the plaza and into the gardens that ringed the towers. He felt much better than when they'd arrived at the Silent Spires, but he could feel the exhaustion lurking in his legs. Even after some rest, it was going to be a long walk back to the swamps. Blaze kicked a rock, sending it skittering over the dirt. Well, that was a lot of a bust. What are we going to do now?
I think, Dante said, that we are going to do an unpleasant amount of walking.
Why don't we ever travel to anywhere that you can reach by sitting?
Maybe Naren had the right idea. We should buy the fastest ship we can find, and spend the rest of our existence sailing around somewhere warm.
If we stick to the seas, the Lich might not even be able to get at us.
The Blighted would make awful sailors. They already act like they're drunk. Just wait until they get put on a ship and get some rum in them.
Dante brushed past a shrub of blue flowers.
Taking to sea isn't a completely insane idea. Once we're out of the hills, I'll loon Nak and tell him to start arranging for an escape fleet.
You mean, like what the Drakebane did, except with no destination at the end of the journey?
If that's what we're down to, I'll start preparing a eulogy for the state of our ideas.
We should go to Bressel, Volo said. If we can find the Odyssein and talk to them, maybe one of them would come back with us.
Dante grunted. Everyone we've talked to seems to think that's about as likely as talking the White Lich into sitting on his own glaive.
Then we'll kidnap one of the knights and make him fight the Lich.
Kidnapping someone who can strip our powers from us like dirty sheets might be our worst idea yet.
Even so, just to cover our asses, I'll ask my agent in Bressel to see if she can run down an Odyssein.
Right now, though, everything we've seen indicates that traveling to Bressel would be a waste of weeks we can't afford to lose.
That's pessimistic, Blaise said. I'm sure the White Lich will put his plans on hold if we write him nicely enough.
Volo wiped a bead of sweat from her temple.
What if we search for one of the apprentice knights who fled with the Drakebane? Maybe they weren't able to train long enough to be totally loyal to him.
If they were trained for...
Blaise got a startled look on his face.
He spun on his heel and dashed back toward the plaza. There, Era had been speaking with her bodyguards and was just now mounting the steps of the tower.
Hey! Blaise waved his arms over his head. Bell Era, wait!
Archers flooded back onto the balconies of the towers, aiming their arrows at Blaise. He skidded to a stop, holding his hands high above his head.
I admit running straight at your leader while yelling my head off wasn't the most diplomatic approach, he called out. But can you wait to fill me full of arrows until after I filled you in on how I'm going to save the world?
Dante was already running after him, trying to take a posture that indicated he thought his friend was very stupid, and that he was only trying to stop that friend from making things worse. As Dante hit the plaza, Era descended two steps to stand above Blaise.
If you've come back to beg me, you'd have more luck begging a tree to grow you a wife.
Oh, I already have one of those.
He smiled tightly at the archers and slowly lowered his hands.
But if I can talk this tree into growing me a person who'll hear me out, then I'd be interested.
She squinted at him with one eye.
You're aglow with cleverness. That seems like a stupid reaction, considering I've already told you at length why we can't send anyone to help you. You want to argue more? Waste as much breath as you want? Words can change minds, but they can't change facts.
You might say that, good Bell, but my companions and I are cursed with the foolhardiness of not knowing when a thing can't be done. With that in mind, I have a proposal for you.
Make it fast, or not at all.
You can't send knights to help us because you don't have any. And the only other people here who have the power of the Odyssein
can't leave the hills.
Well, that's the end of it, isn't it?
But then I got to thinking. You might not be able to leave here, but we can. And we can put a blade through the Prime Body's heart and bring down the Lich. If you teach us to be Odosain.
Era's black eyebrows twitched upward. A smile spread across her face like dye dropped in water.
I see why they don't give you a title, Mr. Buckler. After all, what would they call you? The Minister of Alternative Solutions?
I prefer the Baron of Getting Shit Done.
Blaze turned to Dante, who had stopped a few feet behind him.
You think we could fit that on a signet ring?
If this works, Dante said, we'll stitch it in gold thread on a 30-foot banner. Well, Belera, can you train us?
She descended another pair of steps.
Sure. In fact, the idea had already occurred to me.
You're serious? You can train us to do what you do, the skill we need to counter the White Lich, and you didn't say anything about it? You were going to let us just walk away?
I have to come up with the ideas for you. You don't understand the Odosain at all, priest of the 11+1 gods of the North. If you couldn't think this solution out for yourself, then you proved you're not ready to learn what we do.
But I did think that thought, Blaze said. So that means you'll teach us?
Nope.
Era dropped down the final steps, putting her on the ground with them.
But I will bring your plea in front of the Argument of Seven Voices.
Right. The good old Argument of Seven Voices.
Will you think less of me if I ask you what the hell that is?
The rulers of the Silent Spires. Dante licked his lips.
I'm sorry, I thought you were the ruler here.
Then that was a faulty assumption on your part, wasn't it? Not a good thing, thinking the first person who wanders out of a fortress is in charge of the whole place. I do have sovereignty over my own tower, and as the newest voice of the Seven, I'm expected to handle irregularities like this. But in a case like yours, we decide as a group.
As in you take a vote? You don't have a king? Or at least a chancellor of some kind?
Eris snorted. Trust a high priest to argue that every governing institution's got to be ruled by a high priest?
Why would you believe one person can be right about every single thing at every single time?
If you want to get to the truth, you don't assign it to a single man who's above us all. You put a bunch of good people in a room, and you let them fight their way to the truth.
Gladick moved next to Dante, looking more thoughtful than during his angry outburst earlier.
How will this hearing proceed?
I'm thinking we'll argue on three decisions. First of all, whether we're allowed to train those who approach the Odosain, rather than vice versa. Second, we'll look at whether we're allowed to train Hari to be knights. And last, I'm pretty sure the others are going to want to argue that foreigners who trespass in the Silent Spires should be put to death.
Aha, Blaze said. On that count, might I suggest no?
Dante shaded his eyes against the sun, examining the heights of the towers.
How will this process play out?
Like any process meant to get to the bottom of an issue,
Era said.
You'll tell the Seven who you are and what you're about. Then they'll question you until you're so sick of questions, you'll spend the next 5 years ending every sentence with a period. Then we'll argue with each other until we've reached our decision.
A shadow fell over her face.
That's the process in theory. Like always, it's different in practice. As I hope you figured out from the name, you'll be talking to 7 people. But the truth is, 3 won't be listening. Not with an open mind. You'll have a pair of boulders sitting in front of you.
Boulders, Dante said.
Boulders are just like they sound. They're sitting in the exact same place they've always been in. And they won't budge from their spot even if you tied a team of swamp dragons to them.
They're the preservers of our first ideals. And they'll never agree with what you're proposing. Their names are 1 and 5.
Era paced in front of them.
So, if you want to win a judgment in your favor, you'll have to convince 4 of the remaining 5 lords of the towers to go your way.
Sounds brutal, doesn't it?
Like trying to wrestle a bear that you've just cuckolded.
Good news is that of those 5 people, the 5 you have any hope of persuading, one of them is a river. Someone who's been pushing for change for a long time. Her name's 7, and she'll support you in everything. That means you only need 3 of the other 4. A little better for you. Unless you lose anyway because your hopes will have been raised higher by it.
That's a needlessly cruel way to put it. But I'm confused. You say there's 2 boulders, 1 river, and 4 undecided. That's already 7 people. Aren't you one of the voices, too?
Era flashed her teeth again.
I am. Voice. And I haven't decided how I'll vote yet.
Comforting. What are the state of your laws on the 3 matters we'll be discussing?
Our laws? What is a law?
The things people give to other people so that those people will be less inclined to be horrendous butchers toward each other.
A law is a rule that was decided to be correct by a certain group of people at a certain point in time. Are those people here now? Is that time here now? I don't see those people. I don't see that time. I see my people gathered at the current time to determine what we believe.
A truly enlightened state of affairs, Dante said. How long do we have to prepare our arguments?
Era waved up at the 7 towers.
Until I get the other 6 down here to hear you make them. Don't worry, it'll take a minute. Some of them are very old.
Before Dante could say another word, she strode toward the shrine in the inner ring of the plaza. There she lifted a small mallet from the post it had been hanging from, and used it to strike a bowl-shaped piece of brass that rang like the offspring of a bell and a gong.
Shouts carried down from the balconies. Most of the archers withdrew, replaced by people with the general bearing of trusted household staff. They leaned over the railings to look down on Era. She swung back the mallets and struck the instrument again. At this, the staff dashed back inside.
Era replaced the mallet on the post, and walked across the open-walled shrine to one of the 7 seats that were arranged like a pincer beneath the structure's pitched roof.
"Well, this is unfolding rapidly," Blaze said. "Suppose we should figure out what we're going to say."
"You're not going to say much."
Dante turned a stern look on Gladick. "And you aren't going to say anything. Not unless you can refrain from calling the person you're speaking to a bitch, or threatening to cut off their digits with a dull stone, or any of the other pleasantries you spit out the instant things aren't going your way."
Gladick's mouth twitched.
"Threats are often more convincing than rhetoric or facts."
I will do what is necessary to secure our goals.
You will do what is necessary to not make me punch your jaw out of the top of your head. This could be our last shot, Gladick.
Then see that you do not fail, and require me to correct our course for us.
Dante curled his hand into something not far from a fist.
I have run my country for years. I forged treaties, alliances. I know when to extend an open hand and when to draw the dagger.
You, on the other hand, solve your problems by murdering anyone you don't like.
Before we begin, swear you'll follow my lead.
The old man smirked.
You suppose your efforts to control those around you are more moral because there are times when you don't employ violence? Yet how many have died in your wars?
My wars were fought to free people, not to enslave them to...
A door boomed open from another tower. A tall man, in a white, airy robe similar to Era's, plodded down the steps, followed by a small coterie of attendants. Like Era, he was tall, with muscles more suited to swinging an axe than to poring over scholarship. But he was well into his middle age, and bore a baker's layer of fat. He eyed the foreigners with naked suspicion, head swiveling to keep watch on them as he approached the shrine. As he settled into his chair at one end of the pincer, another tower opened, disgorging a man with the lean build of a racing hound. He was about 40, and he was nearly bald, sporting a tuft of black hair at the front of his forehead, and not much else at the top. He glanced at the three foreigners with curiosity, then smiled quickly, but warmly. The next voice to arrive was a woman whose wide shoulders and thick body were stout enough to house a small family. She gave them a look that was nearly as cold as the icy blue gaze of the lich, mounting the steps with the implacability of a draft animal.
I don't like these people, Vola whispered once the woman was seated. They look like they say mean things to babies, knowing that the babies won't understand them.
The remainder of the council arrived shortly, consisting of four men and three women in all. Two of them were old enough to require assistance up to their seats. Two staff members appeared next to the outsiders, and through a process that was almost entirely non-verbal, indicated that they should step before the seven voices. As the servants guided them to their place between the two points of the pincer of chairs, they kept a twitchy distance, as if afraid the foreigners' leprotic arms were about to drop from their bodies.
"Voices of the Silent Spires," Era said. "We have an unusual matter before us. One that I suspect we're going to have to spend an immense amount of words to untangle. First things first. Let's make some introductions. We're going to know each other very well before this is over."
She introduced the outsiders, including Volo, then moved on to the voices. Dante made special note of the boulders, 1 and 5, the axe swinger and the shelter-sized woman, respectively. And the river, 7, the balding man who'd been the only one to smile at them.
"I'll summarize the situation to the best of my understanding," Era continued. "With the aid of the rebels of the Righteous Monsoon, the Aiden Rane has re-emerged from the deep swamps. The Drakebane tried to stop him. The Drakebane failed at this and put into play the Exodus, abandoning Tanara Tane to the Lich and his servants. We know this. There aren't any surprises there. What is a surprise is that these four people, including no less than 3 Hari sorcerers, have kept fighting back. They faced the Aiden Rane at the Wound of the World. They didn't win a complete victory, but they did survive the battle against him, which would be counted as a win by most people who know what they're talking about. After this, they proceeded to do something impossible. Something we've failed to do for centuries. They found the prime body. The other six voices shifted in their chairs, scoffing and muttering to each other. Era shrugged, waiting for them to simmer down.
If you can't believe it, that's probably because your ego doesn't want to accept that a team of degenerate foreigners have done what we couldn't. It doesn't help our pride that these Hari were trying to save Tanara Tain while our own Emperor was ducking out of here like the sun was about to drop on his head. It makes you wonder why we ever agreed to such a plan.
We didn't agree, said one, pressing his fingertips together and leaning forward. We were told, and we obeyed, as is our duty. Now quit sermonizing and get back to the point.
The point? The point is that these Hari, in all defiance of self-preservation, want to take a third shot at the Lich. But they need the Odosain to strip them of his powers, while they strike at the prime body. When they learned that none of us can leave and help them, they came up with an alternative plan, that we should train them as knights, so they can confront the Aiden Rane themselves.
If her earlier words had caused a stir, these ones unleashed a storm. Again, Era waited for it to grow quiet enough to be heard.
Do you want to sit here all day puffing on about how outraged you are, and how important it is for all good people to be exactly the same amount of outraged, or be branded a traitor? Or do you want to talk through whether we should be outraged?
You're putting the stern before the bow, one said. The first thing to decide isn't whether to train them to be Odosain. It's to decide if we should feed their guts to our gardens.
Do you think I'm so dumb that I've forgotten that I live in this place that I've never left? If you want to ask them why we shouldn't kill them, they're standing right in front of you. Interrogating them is your job.
One shifted his bulk to better glare at Dante. What's there to ask? Outsiders who trespass in the Silent Spires are to be executed. Are you an outsider?
Is this question rhetorical? Dante said.
It's a good way to find out if you're lying or delusional. Yes, I'm an outsider. And were you invited here?
I think that, given the circumstances of...
One flapped his hand like a yapping mouth.
Is that Hari babble for yes? Or do you think that trying to wriggle away like a greased eel makes you more trustworthy?
No, Dante said. We came here on our own.
Because there you have it. They're outsiders. They came without permission. Hence, they forfeited their heads. Now, where is my sword?
Dante looked to Era for support, but she'd taken a seat, and was watching them with bland interest. To his right, a guard drew his sword, looking uncertain. But his confidence was bolstered when four other guards unsheathed their blades, too.
Seven, the balding man, cleared his throat. We've always held that, yes, trespassers are to be executed. It's just good policy. Can't have the wrong people sniffing around our secrets.
But it occurs to me to ask, have we ever had a trespasser?
One's face grew stony. Five pressed her lips together until they disappeared.
Era said, they've tried, haven't they? The gold marks where they fell are scattered over the hills, like spilled grains of rice. But has anyone ever made it here?
No.
Not a single one.
Then it would follow,
Seven said, gesticulating tightly, fingers splayed as if he were working a skein of threads,
that we've never had to, rather had the chance to, test our tradition. To bring it from the clean room of the mind to the grimy grounds of the real.
One snorted. That's the most obnoxious thing I've ever heard.
If it offends you, feel free to rephrase it in a way that's less upsetting to your tender ears.
There's nothing to be tested,
Five rumbled. She had a streak of grey running back from her right temple.
The Knights of the Orosain are the land's only defense against the Aiden Rane. The Silent Spires is the institution tasked with the grave responsibility of replacing those knights. Anyone who compromises our security and our ability to save our citizens from annihilation must be destroyed.
That would be challenging to argue with, indeed, Seven said. But now that the Drakebane's gone, are we still the same institution? Now that we're not training more knights, what are we? If our responsibilities have ended, what's left for these outsiders to threaten?
Five thrust out her jaw.
We don't know that we won't be needed again.
This is all irrelevant, isn't it?
Dante gestured southeast, back toward the unseen swamps.
We're not here to compromise your security. We're here to fight the same thing you are.
What do you have to lose by teaching us the power of the Odosein?
It's very simple, one said. Our principles.
Blaze rubbed his jaw.
I don't think he knows that word, good sir. You might want to try something along the lines of the ruthless pursuit of your goals.
Dante shot him a look.
Exactly what principle is at stake here?
The tradition of the spires. Our loyalty to the Emperor. Our pledge to our people to never let foreign powers influence our protection of Tanara Tain. Take your pick.
Is any of those principles more important than not being consumed by the Lich?
Six, who looked to be the oldest man among the voices, cleared his throat.
I'm sorry, but have we decided not to kill them? Or did I nod off during that part?
One crossed his arms over his broad chest. If that's a call to vote, then mine is for death.
Blaze rolled his eyes.
Great thinking. Let's get those heads rolling. I'm sure that the next outsiders who march into the spires will be another group of friendly and extremely effective allies, and not the White Lich looking to feed you to his troop of enraged zombies.
My vote is for life, Seven put in.
One scowled.
The tradition is as clear as the air in front of your face. Foreign intruders get introduced to Tanarian steel. How in the bottomless waters can you deny that?
Since arriving, they haven't caused any trouble. They spoke with three peacefully enough, and whatever they had to say impressed her enough to induce her to summon an argument. It seems to me that the obvious interpretation of the tradition is that we're to kill foreigners who come here to harm us. What sense would it make to execute those who come to help? If a foreigner came to us to guarantee that he could kill the Aiden Rane, and all he needed was a single speck of dust from the spires, would we still execute him because tradition can't be violated, no matter what?
Era glanced across the pincer of chairs. Who wants to let them live?
Seven raised his hand. So did two, then six, then Era herself, followed by four.
I count five.
Era stared at one.
Unless you've got four extra arms hidden in your pockets, you lose.
One shook his head in disgust.
Get this over with before my lunch escapes my throat.
So that you all understand.
Six jabbed his bony finger at the foreigners.
Anyone else had come and wandered in here from the hills, and I'd be cheering as the servants swabbed the blood from this shrine. But these aren't normal times. That's why I listen to what comes next.
This is exactly what I was talking about before your vote, Dante said. This is an extreme time. The White Lich has escaped his confinement. There's no one else left to stand against him. During times of peace, there's nothing more important than principles. But in times of extremes, when whole futures hang in the balance, the normal rules break down. It's what you do when your principles fail that defines who you are, and whether you survive or fall. Five chuckled.
Do better, Sir Galland.
Excuse me?
You think you're speaking reason, but you're speaking about emotions. Why we should let our fear of what's out there change what we do in here.
Aren't you afraid?
Don't see how that matters.
Answer the question, and I'll tell you.
Sure I am, she said. Anyone who isn't afraid of the Aiden Rani is so stupid they wouldn't even notice when the Blight stole the rest of their minds away.
You've always been able to stick to your principles because the spires have always been protected from the outside world. But your insulation's about to be ripped away from you. You're afraid because for once, you can be hurt. Five sank back in her chair, glaring hard. But he thought he saw doubt in her eyes.
One cursed. We're way off course here. We've always chosen our recruits. What we should be talking about is how it's wrong to train any random person who comes to us.
Seven cocked his head.
I don't understand why that would be so.
We can't trust them. They might have hidden motives. They might be infiltrating us to do harm. There are reasons we seek out our own talent.
And do you think we find all of the talent that's available?
More than enough.
I'll make this quick, Era said. You might not know our history, One, but I know it, and I know it well. Ever hear of Fadden the Cleaver? He came uninvited to the spires to become a knight. And it was a good thing he did. Because if not for him, we would have lost the second battle of Darabod. Then there's Rika Marn. She turned out to be something and a half. Less than a century after that, we took in the Dala brothers. I can keep going if you want. Or you can accept that you have the talent and swear to serve the Drakebane. The spires have allowed any number of those who came to us to serve the Emperor.
One tossed a glance at the foreigners.
None of those people you rattled off were Hari.
Are we talking about Hari yet, One?
He didn't look at her.
No.
Then I call for another vote.
This time it was 4-3, with four defecting to the other side.
Dante didn't know what to make of the loss of one of their voices, particularly when Era's history of them doing exactly what they were voting on seemed so ironclad. He was suddenly aware of the gaping rift between the actuality of the voices' personal opinions and his assumption that he'd be able to stroll in and talk them right to his side. But these weren't half-drunk peasants in Narashtovik who would scramble to do anything he asked. They were an institution every bit as venerable as Narashtovik, one that was vital to the ongoing existence of Tanara Tain. They would have a deep culture of their own, and a will to match.
"Glad to see not everyone has lost their minds," one nodded at four. "Now then, three, you got any history lessons about all the outlanders we've taken in over the years? Because I just did a quick count and came out with, let me see here."
He lowered his head, counting off on his fingers.
"All right. Zero."
"You're right," Era said. "No Hari has ever been trained in the Odosain. As far as I know, they've never been allowed to set foot in the spires. I'm as interested as you are to hear the foreigners explain to us why we should break that streak."
"It's just as I've said."
Dante kept close watch on the faces of the undecideds. 2, Era, 4, and 6. "We're the only ones who can stop your enemy from conquering you. And the rest of us in turn. Why wouldn't you train us?" One got a good laugh from this.
"You're warlocks, right? Great, big, powerful ones. Except when you oppose the Odosain, of course. When we render you just another man with a sword. Back in your frigid homelands, if your enemies came to you, would you teach them the ways of your dark magic?"
"That depends. Is my homeland being ripped apart by an invincible lich who I'm powerless to stop?"
"If we're so powerless, why are you begging us for aid? Now who's getting off track? Yes, I would train my enemies if that's what it took to hold off the enemy that would destroy us both. What other choice would I have?"
"An easy answer to give. Now, let's think this through. You and your enemy have always run at a stalemate. Maybe you're the big guy one year, and the next year his kingdom's looking a little stronger, but neither one of you has been able to conquer the other. You're evenly matched. Now they come to you, and you teach them all of your strengths. Together, you march against the new foe, and you beat him. Wow! Great job!"
One leaned back in his chair, looking down his long nose.
"Then you go home. Soon enough, the old conflicts flare back up. Only this time you're not evenly matched anymore. You've taught your enemy everything you know, and they use it to put you to the sword."
"That's paranoia. We're not your enemies. Until a few months ago, I didn't even know you people existed."
The bulky man exchanged a smug look with Five. She smacked a meaty hand on the arm of her chair.
"You ask us for the one skill that is uniquely Tanarian. The one weapon we know how to forge that no one else does. You say that you're not our enemy? Perhaps not. Perhaps not for now."
She pointed to Gladik.
"But his people surely hate us. And if they ever cast off the Drakebane, they will come for their revenge. Or the Alabolgians will buy the secret from the Malish and send their greedy ships to plunder our wealth from Aerisosis, reducing us to poverty. Your claims that you are not the enemy are disingenuous. When you pour a bottle of spirits into the swamp,
There's no putting it back in the bottle.
If we allow our secrets to leave Tanar Etain, one day they will be used against us.
You might be right,